You know, I spend much of my life trying to believe that I've got it all figured out. And I imagine that many of you do that as well. We think we've got it all figured out. We have expectations of life, and we sort of believe we know how life should treat us. And we like to see ourselves as self-reliant. No one ever wants to be known as someone who can't take care of him or herself. But then something happens. In my case, the garage door opener stopped working. I'm pushing that button over and over and over again. And that machine up there is grinding away, but the chain isn't moving any longer. Now, admittedly, I'm not an expert handyman, but I am like a lot of other men, in that I'm not that inclined to want to enlist someone to help me figure it out or pay for it. So, my additional problem is that I don't tend to deal too well with things being broken around me either. So this is what I've done. I've climbed on ladders. I've yanked on that chain. I've disconnected things. I've reconnected things. I've sprayed WD-40 on it. I've strategically placed rubber bands. And I've used enough duct tape to make sure that that garage door opener will never speak again. It's surprising, to be frank, how much anxiety that garage door opener has caused me. At some point, I'll probably spring for a newer and better garage door opener, and then everything will be under my control again. But wait, my phone's ringing, and there's a voice on the other end of that phone that says, "Do you remember a long time ago you worked for a big corporation, and a big corporation that shall remain nameless due to the fact that these sermons are on a website, told you that they would pay you X amount of money in exchange for eliminating your job? Yeah, we're not going to pay you that because we're bankrupt." So with that call, money that I had plans for disappeared. All of a sudden, the garage door opener doesn't seem all that important anymore. Well, then I'm sitting at lunch on Friday, and someone says to me, "Hey, did you hear about the school budget crunch? And listen to these terrible choices. Our choices are a 25% tax increase, or we can cut out kindergarten, and we cut out the arts, and we can cut out all these other things. So our choices are either raise taxes significantly, or many important programs will be cut. Jobs will be lost. Students will lose opportunities that we've always taken for granted. So maybe there's yet a bigger problem than the fact that I was missing some money." And we know that just over a week ago, people in Japan got up one morning and they went to work, just like any other day. And the earth shook. And many thought, you know, we live in Japan, we have earthquakes, it's an earthquake. But then something unique happened. The sea disappeared. And then minutes later, came rushing back at the shore in furious waves. Waves so powerful that they lifted entire houses and moved them through towns and moved houses out to sea, destroying countless lives. We know that the bodies continue to wash up on shore. We go through our lives often thinking we've got them under control, but then something breaks. We've got it under control, but then we lose some money. We've got it under control, but then we have to face really tough choices in our lives that will require sacrifice regardless of the choice that we make. We've got it all under control, and then suddenly lives are lost. Everything that we try to control, everything that we try to acquire, our families, our friends, even our own identities, can be lost in a moment. And doctors agree that one out of one people will die, regardless of the amount of self-protection that we do, regardless of the amount of supplies that we keep in our basement, regardless of the number of iodine pills we take. We are all going to die. And we have two options when it's all said and done. We can either have faith or we can despair. Now, we heard from the book of Genesis this morning. And Genesis tells us that Abraham was leading the good life. It seems that Abraham was fairly well-to-do. He lived in his father's household with a big family. You know, Abraham wasn't dealing with budget crunches. He wasn't dealing with tsunamis. But then God speaks to Abraham. God just picks him out. Abraham's a no more likely candidate than anyone else. God just chooses Abraham because God is God. And he says to Abraham, go out from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Abraham is challenged to give up everything. He's challenged to give up his family. He's challenged to give up his home. He's challenged to give up his security. He's even challenged to give up his personal identity. No one's going to know who he is anymore. To go someplace unknown to him. Sounds like quite a deal. But God goes on. He says, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. Abraham is commanded to give up everything in order to receive something even better. But there's no collateral here. Abraham's got a choice. He can stake everything on what he already has and on what he already is, or he can stake everything on God's promise to him. Now, there's a story told about a man who falls off a cliff. And as he's falling, he's reaching out in desperate hope that maybe he can stop his fall. And he manages to grab a tree limb sticking out from the cliff. And he's hanging on for dear life, but he's by himself. And he's calling out for help. Someone, please help me. Is there anyone up there who can help me? And he hears a voice. And the voice says, I am here. I am the Lord. Do you believe me? And the man says, yes, Lord, I believe. I really believe. But I can't hang on to this tree branch much longer. I'm going to fall. And the Lord says, that's all right. If you really believe me, you have nothing to worry about. I'm going to save you. You need to do one thing. You need to let go of the branch. The man thought about it and said, is there anyone else up there I can talk to? You'll recall from last week that when Eve was tempted by the serpent to disobey God, what did she do? She doubted God's word. In other words, she didn't trust that God intended good for Adam and Eve. And so the result of that was that she and Adam rejected God's will for them. They despaired. They didn't trust God. And they staked everything on themselves. And when they staked everything on themselves, they found out that they had broken their relationship with God. They found themselves to be unrighteous. They found themselves to be ashamed of who they were and what they had done. They were broken people, and they were lost. And when we're faced with tragedy in our lives, when we're faced with problems, when we're faced with broken things, we can hope that there is someone else up there who wants to do things our way, or we can stake it all on God's promises. And we see in Genesis that Abraham responds very differently from Adam and Eve. Verse 4 in Genesis chapter 12 says quite simply, "So Abram went." There's no deliberation. There's no questioning. There's no doubt on Abram's part. God says, "Leave all your land. Leave all your personal identity behind. And you don't need it." And why don't you need it? You don't need it because you've got me. So when Abraham leaves, he leaves with only one thing. Faith. His absolute confidence. His absolute trust and reliance in God and in that promise that God has made to him. And that promise is a big one. Not only will Abraham be blessed, but all the families of the earth will be blessed through Abraham. God said it. Abraham believed it. He left his old life behind and entered into new life. He gave up everything for one thing, faith in that promise. Many years later, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. Seemingly, he respects Jesus. But like all Jews, Nicodemus would have looked at this story of Abraham in a particular way. The emphasis to Nicodemus would not have been on God's promise, but rather on Abraham's obedience. Abraham was a righteous man, Nicodemus would have thought, because Abraham did what God said. And so Nicodemus would have looked at himself as a good Jew and said, "I could be right with God too, if I'm just obedient to him and I live up to God's demands." The interesting thing in this text in John is that Nicodemus doesn't even pose a question when Jesus starts to answer. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." So what Jesus says to Nicodemus right here is that to be born again is not about obedience at all. We simply cannot obey perfectly. Sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, and we are heirs of that sin. It is part of our nature, and it is also something that we do constantly. We are natured in sin, and we sin all the time. So to be born again is not a moment in which we say, "Jesus, now is the time that I choose to be converted." To do so would be sin, because we are setting ourselves up in the place of God. And Paul, in that passage from Romans that we heard this morning, in verse 3 of chapter 4 says, "For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." It doesn't say that Abraham was obedient and God rewarded him. It doesn't say that Abraham did all the right things and God rewarded him. It says that Abraham believed God and God credited Abraham with righteousness. Abraham believed God's promise. He fully relied on God to fulfill that promise. He didn't rely on himself. He didn't rely on his own strength. He didn't rely on that personal identity that he had. He didn't rely on that land that he had to leave behind. He didn't rely on anything else. The wind blows where it wishes, Jesus says. And so it is, as the Spirit moves people to faith, that at the cross, Jesus gave up everything for one thing, our salvation. The Greek for born again is not easy to translate into English. We don't really have a word to bring that word over into English. So it includes this idea of born again, but it also includes the idea of born from above. So in addition to being changed in one moment of time, our place is also changed. We are born into the kingdom of God. Now, life in God's kingdom is a life of submission to His will, and in a very specific way. Jesus says in Matthew, "Unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Like children. God is our Father. We are His children, and we trust Him implicitly. Like Abraham, to live in faith is to just believe God's promise. To believe that God is doing everything for us and for our good. And with this faith, this implicit trust in God's word, we, like Abraham, can leave everything behind. We can leave our old lives behind. We can leave our old identity behind. And we can be moved into new lives. We can be moved into a new identity and a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. Like Abraham, the born again give up everything for one thing, faith in God's promise. Faith in God's promise that He so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And if we don't have that promise, all we're left with is sin and death, emptiness and despair. Tsunamis remind us of the desperate situation that we are in. There is absolutely nothing we can do to save ourselves. Financial problems remind us that we live in a broken world. And even garage door openers that don't work can create small moments of despair and doubt. But through faith in that promise, which has been fulfilled in Christ's death and resurrection, we are given forgiveness. We are given salvation. And we are given a new life, life eternal. Adam and Eve doubted God's word. And in that moment of doubt, they despaired of God. They despaired of His will for them. And they decided, we're going to rely on ourselves. And they did. They relied on themselves and they relied on the creation that God had given them to be stewards of. And you know what they found out? They broke it all. They were devastated by the consequences from their lack of belief. Abraham trusted God above all things, and he was a blessing to the world, Scripture tells us. During Lent, we often talk about giving something up as a form of self-denial. What are those things that are getting in the way of the one thing that matters? Do your belongings keep you from trust in God? Is it other people who are keeping you from trust in God? Is it grief that keeps you from trust in God? Is it worry that keeps you from trust in God? The story is told about a rich young ruler who comes to Jesus, and he wants to follow Jesus. He's ready. And he says to Jesus, "I've kept all the commandments. I've been obedient. I've done everything that was required of me." And he said, "Jesus, what do I lack?" And Jesus said, "You lack one thing. Go sell all your things and come follow me. And the rich young ruler went away sad. And we've often focused on the fact that he had a lot of belongings and that he needed to give those up. But what we often fail to appreciate is Jesus answered a particular question that he asked. The rich young ruler said, "What do I still lack?" And the answer is that he lacked Jesus. He needed Jesus, but his heart was drawn back to the world around him, drawn back to his things, drawn back to his worries and the problems in his life. His eyes were drawn to belongings in his case. And we remember that Peter walked on the water when he had his eyes on Jesus. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, he sunk. When you sink, don't despair, but trust God's promises. Martin Luther talked about being reborn every day, being born again and again and again and again and again, being born again every day by remembering one's baptism and what it signifies, and repenting every day, turning back to Jesus for all things every day, and turning back multiple times in a day as you need to. When you slip up, you repent again. And what do? You look at Jesus again. And that is exactly what God tells us to do. And when we are faithful, we trust God's word to us. We don't despair. We trust God's promises. God tells us, repent again and look at Jesus again. And that's what we do because we believe his promises. Give everything up again and again and again for the one thing that matters, Jesus. Amen.